Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
I won't go as far as to say the college football world descends on Lubbock, but 7-8, a top 10 matchup. It is the anniversary. Is it the same weekend that Texas went into Lubbock for the Crabtree game against the
close?
I think that's, I saw that come up, that it was the same weekend.
I typed in Tech Texas
17 years ago.
Texas Tech.
Where it was Tech versus Texas. Of course, neither.
In my mind, it was closer to Thanksgiving, or closer to Halloween.
Yeah.
I thought it was like last weekend, essentially. I thought it was like on the 1st, but I could be wrong. It was 2008, so, you know.
It was November 1st, 2008.
Oh, look at me.
Yeah. So, look at me. Tech has another top 10 team of a little less acclaim. It ain't the Texas Longhorns, but BYU comes to town.
Listen,
BYU,
it's the whole religion.
It's true. The Mormons descending on Lubbock. It is 8-0 BYU versus 8-1 Tech. I was looking at one of those graphics. If you win, this is your percentage to make the CFP. Yeah. Each team with the win is up at 80%. Of course, Cincinnati's still floating around at there with their one loss, and BYU has them on the schedule coming up here as well.
Big 12 race still, I mean, for having an undefeated team and a one loss team that spent more money than God, that's pretty wide open race for the Big 12 championship. And it's one of those conferences where, you know, all but probably these two teams playing in Lubbock, they kind of need to win the conference to get in.
Yeah, no offense to Bear Bachmeyer. I just can't root for a quarterback wearing 47.
I really am surprised he's still going with that. He wasn't supposed to be the starter. They had Jake Retzlaff last year.
Yeah, he
got in some trouble.
Wound up at Tulane.
Yeah, winds up at Tulane. And it's like, oh, they're backup. Look at this. It's a true freshman who wears 47. And I was like, oh, so just in like spring practice, he wore 47. So they didn't have to give him a real number.
It's just his number. He wore it in high school as well.
I can't.
Look, okay.
I can't get down with
that. Like, if you wore it in high school, I guess I got to allow it. It's not like something you put on because, hey, I want to be different in college. I just don't want to see it.
You want to be different in high school. That's all
I just
want.
I just don't want to see it, you know?
Yeah.
I hope nothing against the young man. I just don't want to see my quarterback score 47.
Texas Tech, do us a favor. I can't have this guy lining up against Georgia in the playoff.
Even if Tech wins the game, if BYU wins out, I think they would just see each other again
in the
Big 12 title game.
They would. That
so I would need Sorsby out of Cincinnati to do me another favor.
BYU after this one has TCU and Cincinnati. So two, you know, tricky teams. So they don't have like an easy route if they lose this, but a route nonetheless. But I think that this one, it's just like, how do you block the defensive front for Texas Tech?
That, yeah.
Like, how do you do that? And BYU is one of those teams that normally has a pretty good offensive line. Shout out to Zach Wilson. Got him drafted number 2 overall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little different with these guys, with Bailey and Hunter. It's a little different with Texas Tech.
Yeah, and Tech went into Tempe and lost, but since then they put it on Oklahoma State, who's terrible. And then at Kansas State, they went on the road. So they seem to have gotten things squared away. And if you look at what they have after that, home to BYU, then home to UCF, then at West Virginia. So the road is pretty clear if they can win this home game to get to the Big 12 championship game. And then we'll see who they face. And who knows how things break down because of what happens and the chaos that may happen around the country. While I don't foresee anyone currently thinking of Texas Tech or whoever wins the Big 12 as a team that gets a bye, if the losses mount...
Yeah, it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. Not impossible. So if you got a, in BYU's case, a 13-0 Big 12 champion, and yeah, Texas Tech's case, a 12-1 Big 12 champion, there's a real shot the Big 12 champion isn't playing on the opening weekend.
I think we do. We always just subconsciously, because we, in our head, we're like, well, these teams are highly ranked, so they're really good. They're not going to lose. They play teams that are worse than them. We do forget that, like, bad teams are less talented, or teams with worse records beat better teams all the time in college football.
Happens all the time, so especially late.
Especially in November. So, yeah, I mean, you sit there and you're like, 8-9 or 7-8 for these two teams, you know, seems about right. It's like, well, like, Alabama, if things hold in the SEC, Alabama and Texas A&M are going to play in the SEC title game. One of them will probably maybe drop a little, just like seeding-wise. They won't both get byes. Like, we're not going to sit here and have two Big Ten teams with a bye, two SEC teams with a bye. It's possible that's how it winds up. It's not a given.
Yeah, the two teams, Tech and BYU, have one common opponent of consequence. They both played Utah. Earlier in the year, we remember Tech went in there and lost Morton and still dismantled Utah. And then, of course, the Holy War was a much closer game in Provo, where BYU won. So because it's the Big 12 and just how it shakes out, there's not going to be a lot on either team's resume. This is clearly the biggest resume booster, and hopefully – if it shakes out the right way, they'll play each other twice if we're talking about for the benefit of the Big 12, as far as how they're looked at when it comes to seeding. Like, if they play each other twice, let's say it goes Tech wins at home. What's your favorite to do?
Tech wins this one.
And BYU wins the second matchup. Do they both get in if they're both 12-1?
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
I think they both get in, and I think neither of them get a bye in that situation.
Yeah, I would agree.
But I think they both get them. Probably around like 7-8 or 7-11. You know, like, they're already in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and I would say you laid it out, some of the talent on that Tech roster, that BYU would be the team that would have to announce itself despite being undefeated, despite being higher ranked by a spot.
They just haven't been tested.
They just haven't been tested.
Not many teams in the Big 12 have until you play Texas Tech.
Yes, and it just so happens that BYU, you look at them, and their biggest test was against Utah, and it's a rivalry game, but it was a scratch and claw. They won by 3, and as I laid out for you, Tech against that same team pummeled Utah. So I think a loss clearly hampers both, but if BYU drops this one, I think people are going to really downgrade them as far as their chances.
They have the leading potential for... If they lose this game on Tuesday night on the rankings, like, they get the big red arrow down where it's like they drop six, seven spots,
depending on who behind them won. We were talking about this game. Let's get to Corey. He wants to talk some Tech. What's up, Corey?
Hey, I just got one question with Jacob Rodriguez for Tech. Do you think he gets possibly any Heisman loves? I mean, the guy's got 9 takeaways, 1 touchdown, 77 tackles, couple sacks. The man's a beast, even with his size. And also, what do you think he gets drafted? Do you think he has a second day, third day pick?
I don't know how he runs. And, I mean, I'm sure it's a question from Lance. I don't know if he's looked at him yet. Yes, 7 forced fumbles for a off-ball linebacker. The sack total doesn't help. He only has 1, as you laid out. Has a couple picks. So he does create
splash.
Makes splash plays, but if he could be a guy who rushed a passer, then you could probably have a real conversation about it, at least as far as maybe being considered and maybe mentioned. And, hey, you know a guy who's not getting a lot of attention in that type of conversation? But as far as winning the Heisman, off-ball linebackers don't do it.
Or if you do, this is where, like, being Texas Tech, like, really
that
hurt.
Doesn't help.
You have to be Manti Te'o at undefeated Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, like, it has to be that level.
I don't know how many people have watched Jacob Rodriguez play or who could even count off the stat you gave us. I knew of the stat about what he was doing because I watched this is much earlier in the year. He was the featured guy when they were playing the Cougs, and they were talking about what he had done. It's just a stat that maybe only diehard Big 12 people and Tech fans know. Unfortunately, he's a great player. 6'1", 230. I don't know how he runs, so I don't want to say this is where he'll be drafted. But productivity is there. I would say, hey, maybe look at the Butkus.
I was literally looking up the Butkus Award, if they have a watch list or a
some of that stuff just came out, like semifinalists.
And from Texas Raiders or Texas Tech Red Raiders, Rodriguez named semifinalist for Butkus Award. So
yeah, so that's your in for postseason award for him, particularly if Tech continues to win games.
Although Arvell Reese,
Arvell Reese is there, so it's going to be tough of the undefeated Ohio State Buckeyes. So
yeah. He's really good though.
Maybe he gets on the what do they call it, the rubber chicken tour, whatever they always call the awards tour, where he gets to show up at places.
I thought it was like some rubber chicken award.
I don't know why they call it rubber chicken. Yeah. I guess because it's not cooked properly. No seasoning. I don't know what they call it that out there serving that great chicken. But maybe he gets that Heisman. I would say it feels unlikely there. All right, let's appreciate the call, Corey. Hopefully, for your sake, the Raiders win. It's a big year for them. We talked about it before the year began, how this was the year. The money that they've thrown at the roster, and, of course, how old the roster is. This was the year. You mentioned Jacob Rodriguez. He's a senior. This was the year to get it done, and so far, so good for them. All right, other games? That's an early game. That's 11 a.m. on ABC.
I wish it was a night game, just for the more parallels to the Texas game.
Speaking of that, Sean, are you going Hulu or FUBU this?
For us, by us?
No, FUBU. Actually, FUBU, not FUBU.
No, I do the same thing. On my 5 days of free trial have run out, and I think on each of those days I called it FUBU.
Are we going?
I'm going to Lake Charles with Joe.
So you don't have
and
to worry
Cam
about
Smith,
it.
This week. So yeah, this week. That's why. You know, hey, you guys sell it yourselves. I'm kind of good this week. Next week.
I'm trying to think.
I'm going
to
need next week. I'm going to need a resolution.
Am I going day pass again with Sling, or do I say, you know what?
That's what I would do. Just to I would have done day pass, or maybe a different email for FUBU.
Possibly, you could always do that. But the thing
is, Damon John,
if I go day pass, then I feel like I'm going to be obligated to watch Miami play, and I would rather take the week off from them, to be honest with you.
Bye week, bye week.
Yeah, they're playing Syracuse. Like, if you lose that game, fold the program.
Can only upset you.
Yeah.
That game can only
No matter how it goes, unless it's 56-0, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
Because I got to realize all the conversation will be about what happened last week and the perilous situation they're in as far as the playoff is concerned. I don't want to deal with that, but if I know if I pay for the day pass, I will watch. So I may go, you know what? I'm a CBS guy, an ABC guy.
I
got Oregon, Iowa at the same time on CBS.
It's not a bad slate to do Fox and CBS. Not as terrible.
I don't want to miss BYU Tech. That's an ABC game. But after that, you got, and of course, A&M Mizzou.
Which buy some bunny ears.
Certainly can do that.
Buy an antenna.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, sure. yeah, okay.
Hey,
A&M.
Solution-oriented thinking.
So A&M, while you'll be able to hear it here, is also going to be on ABC. A&M in Missouri. Missouri, of course, without their starting quarterback. We had a caller as part of our Beat the Warehouse Live guy. He wanted to go college, and he wanted to take his Aggies, and Justin allowed it because he doesn't think much of the pick. He's like, oh, you want to take the Aggies? All right, go ahead.
Against the rules, I'll let you have them.
Yeah, because he likes Mizzou there. So the Aggies, as it stands now, 4.5-point favorite. I don't know if that's the number we gave out on the pick'em. I have to go look at it. The number might have changed, at least on ESPN Bet. So
everyone tailed. No, I guess they would have tailed the caller.
So the Aggies against a ranked opponent on the road late in the season has all the makings of a disaster. If we just go by their history, it feels like this is a game the Aggies have lost. Mizzou's pretty good. They're pretty good defensively, but when the backup quarterback is in play, it may even add to the Aggie anxiety because it isn't the starter, but not for me.
No. I mean, maybe this is just two non-A&M fans being like, come on, guys. What are we talking about?
There are only a small favorite, though. It opened at 4.5. It's now 6.5. Sorry about that.
Everyone's a small favorite in the SEC, Dell. I mean, it's hard to win the league.
I know it means quite a bit, I've heard.
It means so much. I mean, what Mississippi State is only 9.5-point underdogs against Georgia.
Well, they push people to the brink all the time.
I guess it is a very safe bet of like, Mississippi State lose by seven.
Yeah.
Lose by six.
But they will make you uncomfortable throughout.
But, I mean, this A&M, I have a hard time seeing. Because they have a good offense, which is like what they missed through parts of the Jimbo Fisher era, which is ironic considering
he was supposed to be an offensive guy and Elko's a defensive guy.
Yes, but
and they didn't like the Colin Klein hire when it was made.
They have a good offensive line. They have explosive receivers.
Come on,
you're going up against a freshman third string quarterback.
What are we doing, like,
A&M? We're good.
Win this by two scores.
Like, we're good.
Let's go.
Just cover. Win by seven.
Whatever it takes. But this should not be one of those games where like, same old Aggies. This should not be the game.
No,
you're too good. Your receivers are too good. Your defense is fine enough to hold down the third string quarterback.
It's also at 2:30, not a night game. I put a lot of weight in it being a night game or not.
I don't know how wild Columbia, Missouri gets at night, but in the afternoon,
probably wilder.
Probably less wild in the afternoon. So that one's on the table for you. I like the Aggies there too. But you know what? If an Aggie fan is a little nervous, I get it.
Your
history will tell you to be.
I understand. But
we get it. Hell, I'm sure it stretches past this, but I remember the Sumlin era teams couldn't beat the Mississippi schools, changed the complexion of your entire season because you couldn't handle those teams, home or road. So we'll see how it goes there. If you just look at the schedule beyond that, we mentioned the CBS game, Oregon and Iowa. Iowa's got a shot to make the big. They probably aren't going to make the Big Ten title game because they lost to Indiana earlier in the season. It was a close one. They played Indiana better than anyone so far this year.
They have a decent road to the playoff, though.
Yeah, if they can beat Oregon here, and you know what? Avoid a potential loss in the Big Ten title game as a top four Big Ten team, you're probably going to make the playoff. You look at where they are. They're 20th in the most recent poll, and they have Oregon and USC. They got to go to USC. But they have Oregon at home, and then after that, it's Michigan State and Nebraska without their starting quarterback. So you get this one, and you find a way to – and the USC-Iowa game may be a playoff elimination game if they can beat Oregon.
Yeah.
So if they get this one this Saturday at home
– beat trash-ass Michigan State, you're going to be ranked. You'll beat Matt Rhule. Boom.
Of course. You're in.
I mean, 10-2
Iowa. Who could have foreseen?
People are
considering how they started offensively.
SEC fans are
so
not going to
terrible.
Like that. They're not going to like that.
Like, I think people stopped paying attention to Iowa.
SEC fan Sean Mapes will not like that.
Look, you're in a spot if you win your games, you're fine.
Yes.
Stop it.
It's hard to win. Hard to win.
It's hard to win the Big Ten, Sean. You got ranked
Iowa,
teams all
Iowa
over the place.
Definitely proves that it's hard.
Even
to win.
Even when they win, it's just
it looks hard.
They just got past Penn State. They took care of Minnesota handily. Oregon's in town. So, Oregon, another one of those teams. Like, if Oregon loses, where are they? Because what do they have on their resume right now?
Ooh.
A win at Northwestern? Can Oregon
Was that the best one?
Sustain a loss? Another one. They got USC later in the season. Penn State was supposed to be one, but you've seen how that
and
has played out.
They lost to Northwestern, so.
Yeah.
Proxy. Northwestern's the better win.
Northwestern, early in the season, week three, is their best win. So
wow. And they also play USC.
Yeah, is what I'm saying. So
tough road for USC.
One loss at Iowa, I think, puts them on the brink.
Yeah. No, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I think Oregon may – and they got Washington, who's ranked two at home on the road. So the schedule's setting up where they're going to have enough opportunities. So who knows where Washington is when they play them? Who knows where USC is when they play them? So – I think Oregon has to be very careful about taking a second loss.
But it's also if you lose to every good team you play, you have opportunities to play more good teams. You might lose. So, that stinks.
Yes, but unlike other teams where the schedule isn't there when you have two losses.
Yeah, they have the schedule.
They would have a schedule, even if they lose, particularly if they lose a close one this Saturday. Dante Moore, this is clearly their toughest road test. Penn State was tough at the time, and then it flipped the other way. So. They got to go into Iowa City. I don't like it for Oregon. I'll tell you that.
I don't like it. The only thing, this is like such a like contrarian or like, you know, double back kind of thinking, is that everyone is like, I don't like this spot for Oregon.
That's true. So they should come out.
It's like, is it too obvious of a spot?
Look, they're going to go against a guy who threw eight games. has thrown four touchdown passes.
I think his yardage is more heinous.
946?
946 in eight games.
That's atrocious.
Like, for a team that we said has a decent chance to make the playoff.
You're right. You know what? They should make it no matter what happens. You're right. Now that I see, I don't want to see Gronowski in the playoff.
10-2 Iowa, 9-3 Texas. 9-3 Texas. Who cares?
I don't like that per se because of just giving the SEC the path. But I don't want to see Gronowski in the playoff. I don't want to see that. Even if they quote unquote deserve it. You're throwing four touchdown passes in eight games. At least he doesn't turn the ball over. Only throwing four picks, too.
Perfectly balanced.
Credit to him for that. All right, we are way past due. So while we don't much so pick games, we just like to talk about them, and you heard how we talk about them. We'll be joined by Michael Carroll when we come back. I'm just looking at the rest of the schedule. Well, you know, Virginia's very, very much in a spot where they could lose at home the Wake because they're Virginia. What used to be the biggest game in all of college football every year is going on again. Alabama hosts LSU, but that certainly has lost its luster.
There's another big one that used to be big in the ACC.
Oh, I thought you meant back in the 40s when Notre Dame and Navy played.
Well, that too. That also used to be big, but yeah. I was thinking more 2010s, FSU, Clemson.
Used to be a thing that people cared about.
Used to be a real thing. I distinctly remember several FSU Clemson games, which is crazy.
And now, is it even
ACC Network?
I
knew baby.
It. I was going to ask. Is it on ACC Network? ACC Network this year?
Yeah,
has to be.
Yeah, it was either that or C-Dub.
Yeah, and somehow Cal Louisville is in a more prime spot than Florida State Clemson. All right, we are done with that. Enjoy the weekend. I don't know how you're going to watch them. Because I'm asking myself that question, but no matter how you do it, particularly if you're not a YouTube TV subscriber, enjoy. We got a pretty good weekend, and we will talk about what happens likely on Tuesday because we got Texans on Monday. But hey, these games with very few remaining will be determining playoff spots, at least playoff rankings for Tuesday. All right, Eric, I see you. You want to talk to Michael. Anyone else, 713-780-3776. Michael Carroll of Comicast is coming up next. He saw Predator Badlands. Getting good reviews. We'll see what Michael has to say about it when we come back. But first, I want to talk to you about – actually, you know what? Sean's going to talk to you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And we talked a lot of football. And, hey, that's because there's going to be a lot of football this weekend. Again, questions on how we'll watch it. But when I am watching it, I know how I'm going to be watching it. But I'm going to be watching it with my Prize Pick app open, watching these picks. Hit for the most part, hit, stay, keep my head above water. That's the goal. Keep my head above water watching these games, watching the Texans and Jags. A great way to make money on this game is Trevor Lawrence, more than half an interception for the Jaguars. For the Texans, Davis Mills, more than half an interception for Davis Mills. Give me a pick each from each of these starting quarterbacks. I don't have a lot of trust in either of them. I have less trust, I guess, in Davis Mills, but Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence and playing the Texans defense. So I think a couple turnovers by each quarterback, and that gets you some money in your pocket. Obviously, a lot of college football, you can get that in on Saturday, but I'm keeping my eyes on the prize when it comes to Sunday and the Texans and Jags. AFC South gut check game. Let's do it on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
ESPN. 97.5.
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here, and we will get to him, but I mentioned this a couple times, and I never got to it. Trevor Lawrence called the Texans bullies. At least he says they try to be. And he told the world, we're not going to get bullied. It's a team that's what they feel like they want to do. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but that's their mindset, and it's not going to happen to this team. So it was fun to be able to punch back and stand up in those moments where it's like, all right, you want to throw that punch? Like, here we are. We're here. Excuse me. This is in reference to Diami Brown getting lit up by Aziz Ashier in game one and a back and forth going on. Of course, they asked Aziz Ashier about it. He goes, look, they a little sensitive over there. Well, I imagine they would when you nearly decapitated their quarterback. So they probably are a little sensitive about you when you hit other guys on their team. But the back and forth continued throughout the week, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Aziz got to greet him. Got to greet him kindly on
Does Trevor
on
Lawrence Sunday. Have to check in?
With
Aziz?
Maybe.
Now that
maybe
he's in town?
Just get a...
What's up, Trevor?
Yeah, we can do that. And we'll see what happens.
What's up, Trevor? Boom, forearm.
All you got to do is let them know you're there and avoid the fine that will likely come because you tend to hit people in the head when you shouldn't. All right, let's get to Michael Carroll. Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast. You can hear that anywhere you listen to podcasts. He does that with John Lee, and John Lee has a rightful beef with the Duffers. You can hear that on the podcast this week. So you guys talked about Predator Badlands, talked about the Call of Duty movie, right? And John's beef with the Duffers.
Yeah.
Before we get to Eric, I would imagine John... After watching the trailer for Stranger Things, I imagine Jong's beef is about time between seasons, but is there more?
Time, and there was, I'm trying to remember the quote from the Duffer Brothers, but to paraphrase Jong, it was basically the Duffer Brothers are trying to gaslight us into wanting
more time
in between seasons, and Jong was not having that, and he let it be known, and if you want a good Jong rant, issue 619 is where it's at for you because he had a good one ready for you.
And you can hear the podcast not only where you listen to podcasts. Next week, you can hear it from 7 to 8 on Wednesdays.
Correct.
Cast on ESPN 975 from 7 to 8. All right, so I let people know that you went to go see Predator Badlands. And, of course, you talk about it on the podcast. You can talk about it here with us in your non-spoiler way. But let's get to this call from Eric. Eric wants to talk to Michael. About Eric stuff.
Something.
What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was calling. I heard Patrick Stewart, this is going to be his last role ever as Professor X in the next Avengers movie. And I'm also, Predator Prey. I like that too. If Batman's better than Predator Prey. And have you seen Toxic Avenger? It's streaming now. It's pretty good. You're getting rave reviews.
It is streaming now. The reviews have been out for like a year now. You've told us about them. It feels like every time you get a chance. But you can find Toxic Avenger on streaming. Patrick Stewart is 85, so I would imagine it's about time to wrap it up.
Not to be... Whatever.
Not to be an ageist.
Yeah.
But for
his
sake.
It seems like every role might be this last one.
Oh, I didn't mean that.
I just meant
the man may just want to, retire.
Hang it up.
Many years he has left.
Hanging up the wheelchair.
But
I forget that he can actually walk in real life.
I do forget
that he's so good.
Picard. I know he can walk.
He's so good as Professor X. Yeah. I'm like, he can walk.
He hasn't been in. He was in the role for
Logan.
For Logan and also for. Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But he's also walked around in other things.
I know he's walked around in other things. I've just seen him in X-Men a bunch.
Okay.
Gotcha. There was a story earlier this week or at least maybe it was not even a story, but just the thing that was running around social media was like Patrick Stewart's quitting acting, and it's like he's retiring because he's like you guys said, he's 85.
Quitting was suggested 42.
It got too hard for him, so he quit.
Oh, after 40 years, I'm quitting. Yeah,
40 years
know.
Of being Professor X. He quit.
Yeah, so
I know it's not 40 years of being,
but
close.
I did 25. See that. I did see that about Avengers Doomsday seems to be the last one for him. I don't know if that would mean he's not in Secret Wars. I don't know because they're shooting him back to back. So I don't.
Yeah.
Who knows. But yeah, in terms of Predator Badlands, no, I haven't seen Toxic Avenger yet. I'll get to that at some point. But Predator Badlands, is Prey better than that? Or is that one, I don't know. I need to sit on it more. I think they're two distinct films. I think the thing with this is that Dan Trachtenberg, who did Prey, who did Predator, Killer of Killers, and who has now done Predator Badlands, is now 3 for 3 in terms of nailing this franchise, but also reinventing it, because it's a vastly distinct film compared to Prey. Prey took what we knew from the Predator formula and adjusted it to be a period piece set in the 1700s or whatever the case, you know, focusing on indigenous people, focusing on Nauru, played by Amber Mid-Thunder, going up against the Predator, and you had the fur trapper scene, all that type of stuff. This one is completely abandoning those horror elements or those slasher elements and going more action adventure route, but it works. It's just a good movie. You mentioned it, though. I had a chance to see it Tuesday. We didn't get it. Jong and I, when we recorded, I hadn't had a chance to see it. So it was just kind of prepping for this week. But yeah, having seen it, phenomenal. One of my favorite movies. I am going to be, normally I'm pretty objective when it comes to this stuff, but I've been a fan of the Predator franchise. So I'm going to be a little bit biased. And I'm just like 100% a fan on this one. I loved it. I thought it reinvents the Predator to where you are rooting for him this time around rather than being afraid of him. It takes concepts that we knew from the first few films and expands it in interesting ways. I think it does what you want a movie to do, is that you get lost in this new world. You get lost in this new story, and you could care about characters that you would not normally care about if the story is done right, and the story is done right here. It's interesting. It's unique, but it's still familiar tropes in terms of found family, family trauma, things like that. There's those underlying themes, but it's all within a fun action adventure film that is well worth the watch.
With Elle Fanning playing two roles.
With Elle Fanning playing two roles. So,
two robot roles.
We did, featured as a backpack for,
for a good portion
of the trailers.
They should sell those.
Which, an Elle Fanning backpack? But it's not Elle Fanning's backpack, but
no, it's
like a popcorn bucket at the movies. Like, yeah. But it's Elle Fanning as a backpack.
Thank God they didn't. So, I'd be $20 poorer right now.
So, which character do you like more of Elle Fanning, Thea or Tessa? So you've seen the movie.
Thea.
You like Thea.
Thea.
Thea's the backpack, right?
Yeah, Thea is the backpack.
Yes.
Backpack girl.
Thea, like, and I'll probably get into it with Jong next week in terms of how they talk about her character, but I feel like there's me going in a theory route, there's like a way you could tie it to like Alien Earth and things.
Okay.
But the Predator Deck, played by Demetrius, he is the quintessential, like, if you talk about a buddy action film, you know, the quintessential straight man. You know, he's very no nonsense for it. Blood, I'm about the hunt. And
predators aren't jokers.
Yeah, predators typically aren't jokers.
They might joke around a little.
They might, but very rarely.
Yeah, with your spine is that.
Yeah, exactly. Out,
they might.
You won't laugh at their jokes, they joke.
But Elle Fanning is that comedic relief, but also that emotional touchstone. She's phenomenal as his, I don't want to say sidekick, but more a partner.
Jansport,
yes.
Fansport.
Yeah.
It is funny, though, that she adds, like, humanity to the film. She's playing a synth, but she adds humanity to the film.
And I'm glad you bring that up, because that's one of the things that I've seen. It's like, oh, it's PG-13, da-da-da-da. Well, there's no humans.
Yeah, one of the reports was there would be no human blood.
Yeah.
Right, there's no human blood, but there's still, like, aliens getting chopped up in half and heads rolling.
And ripping apart synthetic robots.
Right, synthetic robots.
Like, Elle Fanning doesn't have legs in this movie.
There's a good portion of it where it's just you see the spine dangling, but it's like, oh, it's fine. It's a robot.
There's blinking lights.
There's a robot that gets acid sprayed on it. It's like just, you know, melting away. It's like, oh, it's fine. It's white blood. It's not. Who cares? It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, you know, whatever. The violence aside, like, whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
Elle Fanning's a backpack in this PG-13 movie.
Yeah,
for a good portion. So,
but it's, I mean, again, I can't stress enough. I had so much fun with this movie, and I hope people go see it, because this is like what we want people to do with IP and tell something original. This is original and definitely a new step for the franchise to go in a different direction.
When I saw it last night, it passed a very high threshold of movie for me, and it's a movie
he's
that
established his high threshold.
It's a lot of good movies don't meet this threshold, and some would say that this is pretty arbitrary.
Is it Fate of the Furious good or?
It's better than Fate of the Furious.
Okay, good. That's all I wanted to hear.
It's touching Furious 7 Zone. Mm. it's close to Furious 7.
It's good. I mean, it's just a fun movie. Yeah. And it's,
I'm not going to say sacrilegious Fast 5. No, but the way it the bar clears is that complete stranger to me having the conversation in the bathroom after the movie waiting for the urinal. A guy who also walked out of the theater with me. Mm-hmm. Was like, sick movie, huh? And I was like, super sick. He was like, I got to see it again. I was like, I probably wouldn't go that far, but it's a sick movie.
No, I want to go see it again. It's just that good, that fun. And you don't.
I'll watch it when it's on FX.
Okay. That's fine. I understand. This is a movie that you don't have to watch Prey. You don't have to watch Predator, Killer of Killers. You don't have to watch any of the other Predator movies. I mean, if you just know, like, the classic movie monster, that's all you need to know.
I will watch it at some point this weekend, maybe after the show. We'll have more of Michael when we come back. We'll go to break. But first, I want to talk to you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. We just heard Michael talk pretty glowingly about a Predator movie. Well, let me talk pretty glowingly about a guy who won't murder you. He's not an alien. But you know what he will do? He'll murder your plumbing problems. It's Billy Brown at AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. Just go to the website. I mean, look, he doesn't have a synth backpack, but he does have the tools to get you out of any bad situation that you might have when it comes to your plumbing. A big leak, well, at least a small leak can turn into a big leak because you know water can damage your walls, can damage your floors. He will make sure, along with the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company, that does not happen. And if you go with the repipe, one of those big jobs, you're in line for a free water heater. So if you turn on your faucet and you've got sediment in it, you see rust in that water, that means you got a problem. That means maybe your pipes are bad, and that might mean you need a repipe. Have the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company check it out. And when I say check it out, I mean it, because they give you an opportunity to diagnose the problem for free. It's that free price quote. They're not going to charge you for figuring out the problem. So you can go to the website, as I mentioned, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, or you can call them at 281-488-6238. Get your free price quote. Get the service you need. Get the plumber you need. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
So we don't have much time. Michael's going to get you on besides Predator Badlands, which you should or shouldn't watch. I will recommend something that you can watch from home right now. I watched She Rides Shotgun last night.
Oh, the Taron Egerton film?
Yeah, where he plays someone who had to get protection from a gang in prison. So I had to do a couple of things for him that, you know, some violent acts. And then when he wanted out, they didn't like it. So they put the green light on his family. And you just see the process of him trying to save the people he loves and dealing with corrupt cops and stuff like that. It was good. I liked it. The child actor who plays his daughter is really good in it. Anna Sophia Hager, she's pretty good. Plays Polly in the movie. I watched that last night. I was like, I watched that, Sean, as we were going through our CFB off season. I had to watch it on my laptop to keep the TV free because guys really need to get everything done at 1 a.m., it feels like. From about 10:30 to 12:30, I'm up waiting for everyone to do their thing. So we did that, but I watched that. I would say She Rides Shotgun. If you wherever you can find it, take a look at that.
Did you?
I can't tell you how I saw it.
Oh, never mind.
I don't want to incriminate myself.
Okay, I understand.
You can pay for it streaming-wise, rent-own right now if you so choose.
Yeah, you could do that. Or if you want to go to the theater this weekend, again, Predator Badlands. But there's the only other release I do want to highlight at the theater this weekend is one that I think maybe Brian McDonald's actually watching right now. Nuremberg, I think is how you say it, which is about the Nuremberg trials are set to begin. A U.S. Army psychiatrist gets locked in a dramatic psychological showdown with accused Nazi war criminal Hermann Göring. I think, which has a phenomenal cast. Russell Crowe, Rami Malek, Michael Shannon, Richard E. Grant. It's John Slattery, Colin Hanks. It's a good cast. So 71% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. There's a bunch of other like theater releases, but it's a lot of limited. And I would mainly highlight Predator Badlands in Nuremberg. Now, streaming wise, it's a big weekend, I would say. For one, we have Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein. Is available right now on Netflix. 85% with critics, 95% with audiences. This is his adaptation and more faithful adaptation to the book, the Mary Shelley book of, 1904 or whatever it is. But, of course, Oscar Isaac, Jacob Elordi. Elordi, that's his name.
Mia Goth.
I'm struggling. I can't talk. I'm tired, I guess.
I think Nuremberg really got you.
Yeah. It really
shook him a little bit.
Yeah. It shook me, yeah. Pluribus? I said that one right, I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll go real word. So,
Pluribus?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Yeah, sure.
It sound like a real word.
It's on Apple TV.
It's on Apple TV. This is, of course, from Vince Gilligan from Breaking Bad. Not really too much to know or say about this series because he's kept it so much under wraps. But it is available. The first two episodes are out right now on Apple TV. 100% with critics so far, 81% with audiences.
The star is Rhea Seehorn, who you saw in Better Call Saul.
And it seems like a shining moment for her because she's obviously, like you said, the star, and she's getting rave reviews so far with her performance.
And the tagline is, the most miserable person on earth must save the world from happiness.
That's literally
whatever that means, you have to watch and find out.
Because it's interesting how much he's kept under wraps about this series, and the only thing they could use to help promote it is like the same clip that I've seen, I don't know, however many times, with her like in the house and the president says something to her, and then just using the title Breaking Bad for the marketing material for this. But the first two episodes are out right now. There's also, on going back to Netflix, Death by Lightning.
I was going to mention, you mentioned Michael Shannon. He's in that too.
He's in that. He plays President James Garfield. Of course, this is based off the true story. President presenting the story of James Garfield, who rose from obscurity to become America's 20th president, and Charles Guiteau, the man who assassinated him. And it's a limited series, 4 episodes available right now, 88% right now with critics.
Matthew McFadden? McFadden?
McFadden, Nick Offerman.
He is the assassinator, or the assassin, excuse me, Tom from Succession, if you don't know the name, the real name.
Got to get to the top, however you can.
There's also...
I don't think he's killing him to become president.
Oh, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to James Garfield.
You don't know?
He's not climbing the electoral ladder by murdering the president.
Oh, okay.
It's really, no.
That's
not how it works. It's more of, he's a fan.
I'll do my own research.
Okay. All right.
You and Aaron Rodgers.
one show that I will say don't watch.
Oh, okay.
I will say avoid it like you can. All's Fair. Do you know this show?
I do not know.
It's best you don't know.
Oh, it's the one with Kim Kardashian? Show? Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one. Avoid the show like you can.
High-powered divorce attorney.
Yeah, follows a successful divorce lawyer and the owner of an all-female law firm in Los Angeles.
Oh, poor Glenn Close. She's in this.
Naomi Watts.
There's a lot of favors that got called in.
Yeah, all the favors from Ryan Murphy and whoever else to call in.
I hope the bag was big.
Seems to me a Kim Kardashian, I'm going to try to be an actor project.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be going well.
I know. 5% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know if we've seen one.
Have we seen that low?
I don't think so.
I know we had a low one with War of the Worlds.
I don't think it was
5% either.
I think that was in double digits, right?
I think it was like, at least 10%. No?
Maybe at the time, but now it's at 4%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We'll see if All's Fair drops even further at 5.
Audiences kind of like it, 66%.
It does have some stars they would like
audiences
in it.
Audiences kind of like it.
Kind of like it. You got that.
What was the audience on War of the Worlds?
I don't know. Letterboxd, 1 out of 5. Yeah. I don't know. 20% like the movie, according to Google users.
Yeah, it's not. Okay. I'm going to guess not high.
So we put you in a little bit of a bind because we came back with little time. So is there anything you would say that's underrated that people should go take a look at before we wrap up?
Underrated? I'm actually glad you said that because Sovereign on Hulu is available right now. One of the better films of the year, 95% with critics, starring Nick Offerman in kind of a, it's not quite the same setup as She Rides Shotgun, but it feels like a kind of similar themes.
Got it.
I would say.
I'm looking at Nick Offerman standing outside of a minivan with a assault rifle. So we'll see how that goes. He's got a haircut that would make you not recognize him in the goatee and all. He's also in the Michael Shannon thing.
He's in Death by Lightning.
Death by Lightning. So a couple big things going on for, and Rotten Tomatoes give it a 95%. All right, Michael, appreciate you.
Thank you.
He is the host of Comic Cash. You can listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts, and it's on ESPN 97.5 Wednesdays from 7 to 8. He does that with Jong Lee. And if you miss Jong, he's got a rant for you on Duffer Brothers and why not. All right, Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Duval.
Oh, no flipping over, Mike. Look at that. Or maybe it's coming. We'll see. Thank you to Sean. Thank you to Michael. We'll see how the Texans do and whether we're making fun of Liam Cohen. We'll do that anyway. But maybe he is a winner or he's a loser. We'll talk about all that on Monday.
What's up, Trevor?
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.